The Truth News Network. It takes the media a few weeks to catch up to the talk shows. Congratulations, you're on the cutting edge of the truth. TNN,
The Truth News Network.
And your man on point is Dan Newman.
And your man on point today is very, very hacked off. Today, folks, we are looking directly into the face of government corruption, anarchy, and the hypocrisy of the left. We've always known it was there, but we've seen it, but we've never seen it so blatantly thrown into the faces of the American public. Three U.S. senators and a former Secretary of State have purposely and secretly been meeting with the foreign minister of the country named by the U.S. as the leading promoter of terrorism on Earth, Iran. I thought our government is at odds with Iran. Isn't that country the number one funder of terrorist activities all around the globe? Are not the streets of Tehran filled with Iranians most weekends demonstrating against the U.S., stomping and burning our flag while yelling, "Death to Americans"? Why would our government secretly send a group of U.S. senators to negotiate with Iran's foreign minister? The answer? Our government didn't send them. They went on their own, with no conversations with our State Department or any coordination with anyone else in the Trump administration. Those senators, led by Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, secretly met Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif in Germany during the Munich Security Conference over the weekend. That's according to U.S.-based news outlet The Federalist. According to senior editor Molly Hemingway, who I like a lot, whose tweets are occasionally retweeted by President Trump, the report cited a high-level source briefed by a French delegation to the event. Chris Murphy and other Democratic senators held a secret meeting with Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif last week, a high-level source reports. His office is not responding to repeated requests for comment, tweeted out Molly Hemingway. In her report, she said, quote, a State Department official who spoke on background said that the State Department was not aware of any side meetings with Iranian officials in which Murphy was engaged. Such a meeting would mean Murphy had done the type of secret coordination with foreign leaders to potentially undermine the U.S. government that he accused Trump officials of doing as they prepared for Trump's administration, Hemingway said. Senators Robert Menendez of New Jersey, Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, as well as, listen to this, this just really ticks me. Joining them in those meetings, former Senator and former Secretary of State John Kerry of Massachusetts also attended the event. During that event on Saturday, both Murphy and Zarif publicly discussed and grilled U.S. policies on the Middle East in a two-hour session. The 56th Munich Security Conference took place on February 14th through 16th. For those 3 days, the conference was at the center of international diplomacy and welcomed world leaders from politics, academia, and civic society. More about those senators in a bit. But let's move on over there. Let's get the rub out on the Vietnam protester, war protester, and former Secretary of State John Kerry. Kerry admitted that he's met with top Iranian officials, and he did so in hopes of salvaging the scrapped nuclear deal, you know, that one that he and Obama secretly put in place and committed $150 billion to the Iranian government. Kerry slammed the Trump administration for trying to further isolate Iran. The one-time presidential candidate said he'd sat down with Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif 3 or 4 times in places including Norway and Munich since leaving office. What I've done is try to elicit from him what Iran might be willing to do in order to change the dynamic in the Middle East for the better, Kerry explained in an interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt. What do you do to try to get peace in Syria? I mean, those are the things, he said, that really are preoccupying, because those are the impediments to people, to Iran's ability to convince people that it's ready to embrace something different. Doesn't that all sound grand? Doesn't all that just sound so politically correct? John Kerry couldn't win as president. He was at best a mediocre Secretary of State. And folks say he was the author of that nuclear deal with Iran that he and Obama sneaked through without Congress even knowing about it, that committed $150 billion, B, that's billion, of U.S. taxpayer dollars to Iran. Constitutional experts have argued for decades about who in the U.S. government has power over foreign policy. And as you can tell by what's going on now, they don't think that it's the president or the presidential administration. They think, well, those three senators think that Congress has that authority. And of course, John Kerry, who's not even in government anymore, he thinks he's got that authority. Regarding normal foreign policy matters, the president has always handled them. But when differences result in matters of military actions, Congress always has and still does, according to the War Powers Act, have the sole power to declare war. Past presidents have skirted the War Powers Act when they initiated American military intervention in foreign countries. Remember these? Obama went to Libya. He had no congressional approval. Just as a note, that action in Libya, it resulted in the deaths of those four Americans at the Benghazi consulate. And remember, Congress knew nothing about what Obama was doing there. He then took solo actions regarding Syria and ISIS. Bush 43, in the shadow of the New York Twin Towers rubble, went to Congress, however, for permission to take on Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Those are not normal foreign policy matters, but they certainly are about foreign policy. All-out war definitely falls under the direction of Congress. There have been historical interventions into foreign policy matters by others than the current president, though. Doing so is very dangerous, especially in light of the tenuous relationships that currently and for many years have existed between the U.S. and other countries like North Korea, Syria, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran. One would think all those in government would be careful about any and all actions either Congress or the administration take directly with those countries and leaders in those countries, and they certainly would alert the other branch in advance of such actions taking place. Few realize, listen to this, this is the important part of today's story. Very few people know this. There is a U.S. federal law that prohibits these actions, these exact actions, by those unauthorized to do so. It's called the Logan Act. That's the name for it. It is a constitutionally passed law. So what is the Logan Act? Let's talk about it for a minute. Let me slow down for a second. You can tell I'm hacked off. This audacity by Democrats is just driving me crazy. They have no respect for the rule of law, but let's go on. The Logan Act has remained almost unchanged and unused since it was passed. It reads, it's a very short law, and it reads this way, quote, any citizen of the United States, wherever he may be, who, without authority of the United States, directly or indirectly commences or carries on any correspondence or intercourse with any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof, with intent to influence the measures or conduct of any foreign government or of any officer or agent thereof in relation to any disputes or controversies with the U.S. or to defeat the measures of the U.S. shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. This section shall not abridge the right of a citizen to apply himself or his agent to any foreign government or the agents thereof for redress of any injury which he may have sustained from such government or any of its agents or subjects. That is the Logan Act. Now, we're going to get into some of the particulars there, but as you can tell by listening to that, these three senators and John Kerry broke the Logan Act plainly and simply. And of course, now I know why they hid their trip. And in Kerry's case, his trips. They didn't want to get caught. The language of the act appears to encompass almost every communication between a U.S. citizen and a foreign government considered an attempt to influence negotiations between the two countries. Because the language is so broad in scope, legal scholars and judges have suggested for decades that the Logan Act might be unconstitutional. However, it's not constitutional, but it is a legal law passed by the constitutionally authorized U.S. Congress. Historically, the act has been used more as a threat to those engaged in various political activities than as a weapon for prosecution. In fact, Logan Act violations have been discussed in almost every administration without any serious attempt at enforcement. And to date, there have been no convictions and only one recorded indictment. One example of the act's uses as a threat of prosecution involved the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I couldn't believe that when I heard this. I'd forgotten about it. Way back in 1984, Jackson took well-publicized trips to Cuba and also to Nicaragua and returned with several Cuban political prisoners seeking asylum in the United States. President Ronald Reagan stated that Jackson's activities may have violated the law, the Logan Act, but Jackson wasn't pursued beyond just a threat. The only Logan Act indictment occurred in 1803. It involved a Kentucky newspaper article that argued for the formation in the western United States of a separate nation allied to France. No prosecution followed. That's a strange one. A formation in the western U.S. of a separate nation allied to France. Western United States. I don't see a French connection there. Maybe Louisiana, but definitely nothing out west. Oh, well. Well, we have much more to talk about, and we have to also talk about Chris Murphy, Robert Menendez, and Chris Van Hollen, some of the most arrogant senators in Congress, and they're proving that by what they have done and got caught doing in the last few days. We'll do that right after this at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Hello?
They're lying to you.
Lying? Who is this?
You think you two are happy?
I'm sorry,
You think you're in a good relationship? You're living a lie. You're being deceived. They're fried.
What?
In oil.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Your nuts.
My nuts?
Your nuts. Your precious snack nuts are fried in oil.
Ugh. No one ever told me they were fried. I thought they were a good choice.
You didn't hear it from me. But Fisher oven-roasted nuts are never fried. They're just nuts. Oven-roasted with sea salt. That's it.
Huh. What a nice man.
Fisher oven-roasted nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide.
Separating fact from fiction. Arming you with the ammunition of liberty. The truth on TNN.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Well, folks, the only ammunition we have is that the Constitution gives us. And we have some ammunition today. Let me ask you this. Do you see any conflict with this law, the Logan Act, that seems to have stepped across the line? Well, Senators Chris Murphy, Robert Menendez, and Chris Van Hollen certainly are concerned about U.S. relations with the nation of Iran. They should be. They're U.S. congressmen. They're senators. They were each in full support of President Obama's nuclear agreement with Iran to prevent Iran from voluntarily further pursuing nuclear weapons. But that's not the job of a small group of American senators. I have huge problems with what these three and John Kerry did on their own. And Kerry has done it multiple times. He said so himself. How does the U.S. historically act to set foreign policy with countries when negotiations become serious and require formal U.S. action? We use treaties. We negotiate treaties to accomplish two things. Make certain leaders in both countries are clear on the obligations of each, and to set by agreement the terms and conditions for compliance that include actions that will result from any violation of the treaty by any of the two. President Obama was adamantly in support of Iran. He worked on that nuclear agreement for a long, long time. If it was meant to be a permanent agreement, It brings this question up. Why did Obama not bring the agreement to the Senate to be ratified as an official treaty? I have my thoughts, but my thoughts are just opinions, so I won't share them. In this case, all that matters is that there is no treaty with Iran. If there was so much concern by those Obama Democrats about permanently preventing nuclear development by Iran, why did the Obama administration not seek a permanent fix through a treaty? It's important to note that the U.S. entered the nuclear agreement solely by the executive action of President Obama. Congress was not even part of the process. Now, members of the Obama administration did leak that out, what was going on, to certain Democrats in the Senate and also in the House, but it never came to the full House and it never came to the full Senate. No formal action was taken congressionally. That apparently was okay with those senators and other Democrats. But the mysterious and secret details negotiated by Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry included a simple little $150 billion released to Iran. That decision was made without Congress even knowing about it. And the last $400 million of that, it was sent to Tehran on a U.S. private jet. And they split it up. It was in cash, though. It was in U.S. dollars, euros, and Swiss francs. Now, let me ask you this. Why would a Middle Eastern country, when getting $400 million like that in cash, first of all, why would they want it in cash? And secondly, why would they want it split into those three countries' currency? It's probably because all that cash went to fund the Houthi rebels and Hamas, two terrorist organizations funded solely by the country of Iran. That smelled to Americans. The stench of that transaction and the subsequent discovery that the nuclear Iran deal that was supposed to prevent Iran from building nuclear weapons permanently, it only slowed them down for a few years. That's why Obama didn't take it to Congress, to the Senate, for ratification. He knew it would never pass. It was really a slowdown rather than a total walk away from their development of nuclear weapons. It never was agreed that they would forever cease their nuclear military programs. And he told Americans and the rest of the world, including European partners, that Iran was prevented by that agreement from doing any nuclear weapon development. On another note regarding these senators meeting with the Iranians, Senator Murphy is heavily involved with a lobbying group called the National Iranian American Council, a group that has ties directly to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Republican Senators Braun, Cotton, and Cruz have requested that the Department of Justice investigate the group for violations of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. The Braun, Cotton, and Cruz senators wrote to Murphy, Van Hollen, and to Menendez about their meetings with Iranians, calling those meetings interactions that purport to improve understanding between American and Iranian people, but in reality seem to spread propaganda and lobby on behalf of the Iranian government. And one more little note to stick in there. There is also evidence to support that Zarif founded that group himself. And then he sucks three American U.S. senators into the group. Seems to me like a perfect way to spread some propaganda. In summary, folks, I'm going to cut right to the chase. It's my opinion, based on my understanding from the plain English of the Logan Act that I read to you, that former Secretary of State John Kerry, Senators Chris Murphy, Chris Van Hollen, and Robert Menendez have committed felony acts by breaking the terms of the Logan Act. The specific terms they broke? This part, quote, any citizen of the U.S., wherever he may be, who, without authority of the U.S., directly or indirectly commences or carries on any correspondence or intercourse with any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof, and then this, with intent to influence the measures or conduct of any foreign government or of any officer or agent thereof, in relation to any disputes or controversies with the U.S., or to defeat the measures of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years, or both. That's exactly what they are doing. We Americans are not stupid. We can read. We can listen. We can see. There's no doubt that Kerry and the senators met in Iran with the intent to influence the conduct of members of the Iranian government. And they had no authorizations of any kind to do so. Kerry has met by himself previously with Zarif to apologize for President Trump. He even told Zarif that, and I'm paraphrasing here, he won't be in office for too long. We'll get this all straight and the agreement put back in place after the next presidential election. What Kerry and these senators have done is exactly what numerous previous Americans have been convicted of, several of which are in prison today. Paul Manafort, former leader of President Trump's campaign, part of his conviction was for not registering as an agent of a foreign government. For any American to legally be in meetings and discussions with leaders of foreign agents, they must be registered with the U.S. State Department before conducting any meetings. They didn't even notify the State Department they were going to meet. These four actually and absolutely did not register as agents. They should pay the same price for their wrongdoing as have so many other Americans. I've always held respect in my heart for the offices held by those in government over me. In this case, I think all these senators and Kerry, by doing what they've done, are not just guilty of that one felony offense. I feel these actions, their actions, arguably are acts of treason, aiding and abetting a foreign government. Some will say the Constitution does not preclude senators from taking such actions, so their doing so is not illegal. No. That's exactly why Congress passed the Logan Act, because it was going on all the time and it had to stop. Everybody dealing with foreign government entities from our government had to all be on the same page. Their meeting with Zarif is criminal. Congress, who holds the exclusive power to craft and pass laws in the U.S., passed that Logan Act. It wasn't an executive action of some president. Congress passed it, telling everyone not to collude or negotiate with foreign governments about matters between the U.S. and those countries. It seems that doing so didn't just get started either. Apparently, one of these and two other U.S. senators also stuck their noses into another country, Ukraine. Way back in 2018, a letter was delivered to Ukraine from Washington by, how about Senator Robert Menendez? Also, Senator Rich Durbin of Illinois and Patrick Leahy of Vermont, expressly asking a Ukraine prosecutor if he were fully cooperating with then-Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into alleged collusion between Russia and the Trump 2016 campaign. Once again, we ask, where's the Department of Justice on this matter? Where is the FBI? Shouldn't somebody be looking into this case? Maybe if you feel like it would be partisan if a Republican DOJ did take matters and start investigating, if you think it would be partisan and should be something other than that, how about a special counsel or a special independent investigator? Or is it simply the current and past members of Congress are immune to the laws that they pass? Are they better than you and me or any other Americans? What they did is no different than any American approaching a foreign government to discuss specifics of the political relationship between that country and our country. Americans are tired of having to point to the obvious evidence of there being a two-tiered system of justice in the U.S., one that applies to members of the federal government and their minions, and one that applies to everybody else. Equal justice under the law, where is it? It's not in Washington. I don't usually get worked up about a lot of things, but this one's got me in a tizzy. This one's so obvious. The wrongdoing, the hypocrisy, the criminality, and it's got to be handled. Hey, thank you so much for being here today, and thanks for sharing in this. Feel free to share this podcast and this story with your friends. Make sure they get on the same page of understanding what's really going on and how much is being hidden. This one just kind of slipped through the cracks, and we got our hands on it and brought it to you. How much more is there that they stealthily keep hidden from us? We're going to keep looking. Oh, by the way, we have a Democrat Party debate that we need to talk about. We'll do that tomorrow with some other news that we have for you, so don't you dare miss it. Be back tomorrow at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.